Good morning, church. Continuing our sermon series on the book of Romans, the title of my sermon this morning is Be Transformed. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. The context. In Romans chapters 1 to 11, Paul presented theology to Roman believers. But starting from Romans 12 onwards, Paul began to speak to them about practical living of a believer. Theology cannot be separated from practical living. They are not mutually exclusive. They are two sides of the same coin. Sound theology will lead to godly living, and godly living must be based on sound theology. At the outset of Romans 12, Paul urged believers to keep in mind God's mercies so that they are motivated to live godly lives. In order to live godly lives, Paul calls for believers to be transformed by, number one, offering up their bodies to God. That's consecrate. Number two, not conforming to the pattern of this world. I've subtitled this, do not conform. And number three, renewing their minds. That's change. I've subtitled these themes using words starting from the letter C for us to easily remember the main points. Number one, consecrate. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To be transformed, we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The word bodies does not just refer to our physical bodies alone, but to our whole being, the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God is to give ourselves wholly to God and to live for Him. The word living sacrifice points to a life that is completely surrendered to God, to Him, as long as we have breath in our lungs. The word holy means to be set apart for God. We are to consecrate our lives to God. We are to be holy because God is holy. We are not to defile ourselves by bowing down and serving other gods, because our lives belong to God and He is our Lord and Master. Our lives are pleasing to God, or acceptable to God in the NKJV, when we come to God in true repentance, when we sin against Him. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David said that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. In other words, God views brokenness of heart and spirit or repentance as sacrifices that are acceptable to Him. When we give ourselves wholly to God in complete surrender, consecrate our lives unto Him, and live in true repentance, we then offer true and proper worship to God. True and proper worship does not take place just on Sundays when we come together to sing and to praise God with our songs. It doesn't even necessarily mean or take place when we are moved emotionally to the point of tears during singing. But true and proper worship does take place in the confines of our homes, where no one is watching, when we put to death our sinful nature and consecrate our bodies to God for His service and purpose. True and proper worship takes place when we give out of our poverty, just like the poor widow with two mites, or when we choose to forgive and pray for those who hurt us. True and proper worship is often inconvenient and costly. The second point, do not conform. Romans 2, verse 2a. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. To be transformed, we must choose not to be conformed to the patterns to the pattern of this world. The word world here does not refer to the literal physical world, as in the birds and the trees. It refers to the world system, its philosophies, wisdom, behaviors, and ways that are antichrist. The word world here also includes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which allude to an exalted, self-indulgent, self-centered lifestyle. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Romans 12:2a warns believers not to be influenced and shaped by the world system. Believers who pattern their lives after the world have become friends of the world. Sadly, they have also become enemies of God. James also labels them as an adulterous people, because embracing the world system is tantamount to committing adultery with the world. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. These are sobering words from James. And yet, as Christians, many of us are still sucked into the world. We are double-minded in our allegiance to God. We want to have the best of both. This is unacceptable to God and displeases Him. We also continue to struggle to be single-minded in our devotion to God because we are constantly, daily bombarded by the social media with ideologies, values, and ways of living that are contrary to God's word. This tactic of the world is not new. In the 1930s and 1940s, Adolf Hitler, who was responsible for the genocide of 6 million Jews, knew the power of media on the masses. During the Third Reich, he used the media of propaganda and education to brainwash the society to accomplish his evil plans. Today, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc. are being used by the world to ensnare our young and to enslave our old. Just a click away, one can easily access clips of violence and pornography, etc. Sadly, these have infiltrated the Christian homes and churches. The social media has been used by the Antichrist and the world to blunt the cutting edge of our Christian convictions and to seduce the church into tolerating and condoning sin as part of our Christian culture. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with the social media platform. It is an amoral entity, and the church needs to redeem the media for the spreading of the gospel of our Lord. We are called to be in the world as witnesses for Christ, but not of this world. Number three, change. Romans chapter 12, verse 2b says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." To be transformed, our minds need to be renewed, changed, and transformed. A renewed mind will lead to a renewed life. A transformed mind will bring about a transformed life. The word transformed in Romans chapter 12 verse 2 is the word metamorpho in Greek. The definition is to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. It is where we get the English term metamorphosis. Classically, it is seen in nature when a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. Biblically, metamorpho is also the same Greek word used for transfigured in Matthew chapter 17. It is the account where Jesus was transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. Jesus' appearance was transfigured, was transformed when heaven touched him. His face was resplendent with divine brightness, and his clothes became as white as the light. Likewise, our minds will be transformed when heaven touches us. God's word, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, will cause our minds to be transformed. The word renewal in this verse means to renovate. We are to renew our minds. When we renew our minds, we renovate our thinking, just like renovating a house. We execute an extreme makeover in our thoughts. We discard old thinking patterns and replace and furnish our minds with new thinking habits. We repent from evil ways of thinking or evil thinking and take on God's thoughts and ways. Our minds are renewed when it is A. transformed by the Word of God. The quest for a renewed mind requires us to think, engage with the Word of God. Meditate, study, rightly divide, confess, declare, and listen to the Word of God. Discuss the Word of God with fellow believers. Pray using the Word of God. Sing songs that has God's Word in it. Or perhaps even compose your own melody using the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We are to think about heavenly things, not earthly things. The popular expression, don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good, it's not true, in my opinion. Those who are truly heavenly minded are the ones who will contribute the most to the earth. On the contrary, don't be so earthly minded that you're of no heavenly use. It's true, according to my point of view. Those who are earthly minded can rarely be used by God for His heavenly and noble purposes. In Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9, Paul wrote, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. More than just thinking about God's word, heavenly things, and all the virtues in Philippians 4:8, we need to put God's word into practice. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As we do all these things, our attitudes and thoughts will be aligned to the values, principles, and truth in God's word, and we will eventually be transformed. The change process, the transformation process, is often gradual. Our minds are renewed when it is be transformed by the Holy Spirit. It says here, be transformed, not transform yourself. And be transformed, it is in the passive voice, and it is in the imperative mood, and it implies something that is done to us. This refers to the work of the Holy Spirit who renews our minds, especially our subconscious mind. And oftentimes, we are unaware of it. This is a supernatural process. However, it is also a command to be transformed, implying the need to do something. The Holy Spirit is the agent of transformation, the agent of renewal in our minds. But He will require us to obey a cooperative command as He speaks to us, so that He is given the authority to work in our minds. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not bypass our will. As we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and trust in Him, He will release His supernatural power to renew our minds and to transform our lives. This mind-changing process is also stretching and strenuous, because there is a war going on for lordship of our minds. The devil will not relinquish his authority over our minds so easily, since we were the ones who handed it to him in the very first place. We have got to fight back with God's power to regain territories in our minds. So the battle for our minds continue, and the quote, the mind is a battlefield, proves true. As we are transformed by offering our bodies up to God, by not conforming to this world, and by the renewing of our minds, we will then be able to discern the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God for our lives. Romans 12, 2b states, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." At one time or another, all of us might have thought that God's will is restrictive. Perhaps tainted by our upbringing and culture, we have a tendency to think that God's will only leads to suffering and joylessness. Nothing can be further from the truth. The more we step into God's will for our lives, the more we will realize that His will is good, pleasing, and perfect because we now have a renewed mind. I personally think that verse 3 is the start of another theme in Romans 12, but it is also connected to the first two preceding verses. As imperfect as each of us are, God uses the church, yes, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to transform us. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 deals mainly with the aspect of transformation, which is based on our relationship with God. But Romans 12, 3 onwards deal more with our relationship with others, how we are to live as a community of believers, and how we are to serve one another with the gifts that God has given to us. In verse 3, Paul outlines two characteristics of a renewed mind that we are to possess in relation to other believers. Let's read that verse again. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." A renewed mind is one that is, number one, humble. We have a renewed mind when we do not think of ourselves too highly. Yeah, when we do not think too highly of ourselves, but consider others better. Number two, a renewed mind is one that is objective. We have a renewed mind when we think of ourselves with sober judgment. We are honest about our strengths and about our weaknesses. We are not to think too lowly of ourselves either, because we are God's treasures in earthen vessels. We are not trash. We are work in progress. God has gifted each one of us in special ways so that we can contribute uniquely to the transformation of the body of Christ. In conclusion, I would like to sum up that in order to live a godly life, we need to be transformed. Transformation takes place when our minds are renewed and transformed by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. It is a process that is gradual and supernatural, but also stretching and strenuous. Transformation needs to take place before we can discern the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So let us heed the call to be transformed by offering our bodies to God, by choosing not to conform to the pattern of this world, and by the renewing of our minds. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are not alone in this transformation process. We thank you that you are helping us by the power of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit to renew our minds. Forgive us for sinning against you many times in our minds. Right now, we renounce all the evil thoughts that we have chosen to entertain in our minds, Lord. We ask that you will guard our minds with your truth. We ask that you will cover our minds with the precious blood of Jesus. Protect our minds so that the peace and your joy, your peace and your joy will continually fill our hearts. also give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts will be open to the knowledge of your will. Thank you, Lord, that as we offer up our lives to you in true worship, choosing not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, and commit ourselves to the renewing of our minds, transformation will surely take place in our lives for the glory of your name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.